Well, again, welcome to the Local Spotlight Show here at WJBM Studios in Jerseyville, Illinois. The voice... No. One more time. Welcome to the Local Spotlight Show here at WJBM Studios in Jerseyville, Illinois. The voice of the Tri-Counties. I am Chris Lorton. I am your host. And my guest is back again today because we just... couldn't quite cover everything. Cindy Parrish, welcome back, Cindy.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, we were in a discussion about homeschooling and talking about the pros and the cons and and all the good stuff. Were you ever tempted? You have four children, and you all of a sudden, boom, boom, boom. You got four in your class. You're every day. You not only have to, do the cooking, do the cleaning, do the prepping, take care of Todd, do all this, all these things that you have to do, but you also have to teach the kids as well.
Right.
I mean, that's a lot.
Yeah, it's a big responsibility.
Did you ever say, I don't know, this is too much. I think I'm going to give it up. I'm going to send them to school.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I was tempted a lot. In fact, I would threaten the kids sometimes and say, you see that school bus going down the road? You are on it tomorrow.
And they didn't want to get on it.
Oh, no. They were like, oh, what is that? Just the fear of the unknown, really. But, surely there was plenty of times when we wanted to give up or throw in the towel. But I would pray about it. Todd would pray about it. We would always kind of come back to, no, this is what the Lord has in store for us. And the Lord will help us to be faithful to it. But certainly, even days when I was just like, they are not getting anything, and I wanted to throw in the towel, some little thing would happen where like, okay, I guess they are getting that. Like, for example, one time I remember my little guy, Quinn, he was
the baby.
He's the baby. Everybody says I spoil him, which I don't think I do, but we went for a bicycle ride in the afternoon, and I was trying to teach him phonics in the morning, and phonics is when you're trying to teach your child how the letter, you might draw a B on the board, but they don't necessarily know what a B sounds like.
Of course.
So in phonics, you're trying to connect in their brain what a B looks like and the sound the B makes.
Yes.
And I was struggling to get him to get this concept, but... you call it a day, you go outside, especially boys, you got to go outside. So we went outside, we were on a bicycle ride, all of us, and it was behind me on his little bicycle, and I'm in front of him, and he goes, "Mama, mama," and I'm like, "What, son?" And he's like, you're on a bicycle, and I said, "Yeah," and he goes, "And mama, mama, your bottom looks so big on that bicycle." And I was like, okay, he's got it. He's got it. So we laugh about that a lot. But it actually is fun because a light bulb goes off and you get to see that and you see, oh, wow, there is a reward in this. And you think, wow, the Lord helped me to teach them this.
Yeah. Now, you did it the hard way because today there's a lot out there on homeschooling, and there's a lot more available. But back then, there wasn't much.
Right, right. I mean, there wasn't. You had to really search hard to go get a good curriculum that you thought was going to be solid. And there wasn't really as much support. There wasn't as many people doing it, and there weren't any co-ops. But now Jerseyville does have a co-op that meets at Delhi Baptist Church, and it's growing by leaps and bounds. I think they have more than 100 kids.
No kidding.
Yeah,
100
right here
kids
in Jersey County.
So what does a co-op do? For those listeners who are thinking, co-op, well, what happens at the co-op?
So a co-op, they are kind of geared differently. I talked about it last time a little bit when we went to a co-op that mostly was geared towards sciences, higher level science and math. But the one at Delhi, I know, does... enrichment classes, like not your core classes. You're required to teach certain classes in Illinois.
The core classes are at home. You're doing that at home.
At home. Yes.
But the English, enrichment classes. Math.
But this particular co-op does enrichment classes of art and music and chivalry and history about a particular time frame in history.
Chivalry?
Yeah. Like maybe studying.
I've never had a class in chivalry.
Well, you might need one.
except for my dad.
Oh,
you know,
okay.
He taught us about it, and my mother. But other than that, I never know if I've ever heard it mentioned in school.
Sure. Well, it might just be a section on medieval times, and they teach about knights and ladies, and the students would get to go and dress up and then have a play later on. And you would have homeschool families that come together on a particular day, and they get instruction. Usually the parents volunteer to instruct.
Mm-hmm.
And then the kids get this enrichment. They get to interact with other kids.
Yes.
Which a lot of people bring that up. What about socialization is a big question about homeschooling. And they get that involvement with other kids. And then you go home and you teach the rest of the week your core subjects. That's what a co-op is like.
I see. Yeah. That's nice.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the library. Did you use the library much?
Oh, actually, we were there quite a lot. Quite a lot, yeah.
I bet.
Beth Tittle knew the kids' names. She knew all their classes, what they were studying, their books. Yeah. And we were always late getting our books back. They were gracious. They were gracious with us.
I'm going to mention this, and I've heard this a time or two from peers of kids, and even, yeah, just peers from all ages when they talk about homeschooling. And I didn't know anybody that was homeschooled growing up. Mm-hmm. You know, even in college.
Sure.
I never knew anybody was homeschooled.
Yeah, it wasn't a thing, really.
Yeah. But sometimes people say, oh, yeah, they were homeschooled. You know, homeschool kids, they would say, you know, homeschoolers, they're just a little different, you know? They're just a little weird.
Mm-hmm.
What's up with that,
mm-hmm.
you know?
Yeah.
So what's your take on that?
I would say we got that a lot, too. In fact, Todd's mother and his two aunts were public school teachers. And so they kept saying, well, when are you going to put the kids in school? You know, they would encourage us to return to the public school method. But really, that's something also that you need to teach children is how to interact with other people in a healthy way,
mm-hmm.
and in a confident way. And so if you're not teaching them that can give kids the moniker of they're just kind of weird. Homeschool kids are kind of weird.
But they kind of need to be around some other kids to learn that, don't they?
Well, not really.
No. Okay.
I would disagree with that because if you want your children to be more like the 10-year-olds that are their peer group, and you want them to behave like that. If that's what you want, then you would want them around a bunch of 10-year-olds, their peers, for as much as you could. But if you want them to become responsible adults and you want to have them be successful community members, then you want them to interact with people who emulate that and model that. So, socialization with your peer group is going to get you peer behavior.
Mm-hmm. Now, your kids, when they were homeschooled, did they spend a lot of time with adults?
They did.
Yeah.
They did with us, and then, of course, with Todd's family, my family. And then we would interact just being in the community, you know, and we tried to train them to just be able to interact, to look. It's very unusual for even now a young person to be able to look an adult in the eye and just shake their hand. You have to train that. It doesn't necessarily come easily.
When we would take our kids out to eat when they were little, mm-hmm. you know, and they were going to place an order, you know, and I'd say, okay, well, here's what would usually happen. All right, we have all four kids, mm-hmm. you know, and I go, okay, you're ordering off the children's menu, just so you know. Pick anything you want off the children's menu.
Yeah.
And they go. So it would go around, you know. Jenna would order something off the children, then Katie, then Michael, and they'd get around to George.
Mm-hmm.
And George would say, I'll do a full rack of ribs. I mean, he did this all the time. And then Brenda would go, George. And then, of course, I'd go, let him have it. Knowing he wouldn't finish, and I'd finish.
Yeah, you knew where it was going on your dad's plate.
So I could order lighter and help him with the ribs, you know. But
you're so gracious.
But I would say to them, you know, they'd have their, you know, because they were young. You know, kids are young, mm-hmm. you know, and they have their head on, I'd like the cheeseburger. I said, hey, lift your head up. Look the server in the eyes mm-hmm. and tell them what you want. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah.
Or what you want to do.
Yeah, it has to be trained and taught.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Because they're bashful. They're little.
Sure. You know, sure. I mean,
they're intimidated.
Right.
Yeah.
Adults can be intimidating.
You know, another thing I think when kids, like you say, they go and they start acting like their peers. Mm-hmm. And there seems like there's, when they come home, there's some competitiveness between the children, mm-hmm, you know, mm-hmm. between the children living at home.
Sure.
You know, like, well, I hang out with these guys, you mm-hmm. know, I hang out with these girls. You know, they have their own little groups,
sure.
you know, and there's a tier thing with mm-hmm. the groups, you know, like where you fit in.
Sure.
And I didn't really like that very much, you know.
Yeah, I think that public school or just school in general kind of breeds that a little bit because they're trying to induce competition to encourage.
Pecking order gets established.
Well, that's going to happen anywhere.
Yeah.
But they want to induce competition to try to motivate the child to do better or do more, or they think that will do that. But also, the child becomes more interested in pleasing their peers.
Yes.
They're not as interested in pleasing their parents.
Boy, that's the truth.
And so when that starts to happen, it has consequences in the home. They don't just do that at school. Yeah. It'll have consequences in the home.
Billy doesn't have to do this. You know, mm-hmm. Sally doesn't have to do
this.
Yeah,
yeah.
You know, like, how come I can't have a cell phone? They have cell phone. How come I can't do this? You know.
Yeah. It could be on and on.
Yeah. And also with kids, the maturity factor. I could just see homeschooling, you know, although we never did homeschooling, but we always were trying to teach, mm-hmm. you know. I mean, I was a teacher, so I was always trying to teach.
Well, that's your role as a parent. We're asked to, required to teach your children these things.
Yeah. But there's kids at the same age can have different maturity levels mm-hmm. that you have to teach differently. You know, mm-hmm, they're mm-hmm. they're just different.
That's true. That is one of the beauties of homeschooling.
Yeah.
You can cater the subject matter to your child's development level and also to their interests. You don't have to just say, okay, everybody's learning this today. You can cater it to this child. I've taught them how to multiply, and they can multiply up to the times table of 12. They've mastered this subject, even though there's four more chapters that discuss this. He's mastered it. You can change it to their developmental level or their skill level. And you don't have to stick with a standard that's happening because you're not trying to make 21 kids get to that level before you go on to the next chapter. So you can more individualize their learning on their interests and their abilities.
Yes.
And then your child can really soar because they're basically getting a private tutor for all of their subjects.
Hey, if you're just joining us, I have Cindy Parrish with me, and we're talking about raising kids mm-hmm. and homeschooling. And I think, you know, even if you send your kids to school, we're always homeschooling. Mm-hmm. When they're at home, we're schooling them.
That's right.
You know?
That's true. I mean, that's true.
Whether they're working around the house mm-hmm. or if you're in business. Now, you got your kids into mowing lawns. Mm-hmm. How'd that come about?
Well,
it was a business. It was a regular business.
It was. Well, first of all, we wanted him to mow our yard.
Yeah.
And then we had the law office, so we had another yard. And Todd's law partner, Bill Strang, had a couple yards that he needed mowed. And so it just kind of started that way, in that we needed them to learn the skill of mowing our own yard and businesses. We also have the Harvest Inn. So we wanted them to do that because Todd wasn't able to do that time that way. And I could do our yard, but I wasn't able to do the other yards because I had children at home. Mm-hmm. So when Gabriel got to be about 12 or 13, we started training in him how to do this. And then we motivated him and said, hey, if you do Daddy's office and you do this, the Harvest Inn and these other places, you're going to get paid for it. And then you're going to have spending money. And he liked that idea. Yes. So that's how it began. And then when each child got to an age where they could actually handle a riding lawnmower, because you have to be a little bit taller, mm-hmm. And a push mower and a weed eater, we would train them and they would just join the family business. And then each year, you know, we tried to get more yards because you wanted them to actually enjoy the revenue. As they got older, they were more interested in the revenue. You know, they wanted to have spending money.
Yeah. And Abby, does she still mow?
Abby does. Yeah. Abby and Quinn, they are champions. They're keeping parish lawns going for all these years. It has put all my children to college.
Really?
Well, they've gone to colleges that had programs where they didn't have to pay full tuition. But for the parts that they did have to pay, it helped them get through college, and hopefully it's going to help Quinn get through law school, because he's going to go to SLU in the fall, and he's going to keep mowing yards while he's in law school to pay for it.
Well, there's a lot of lawns out there.
Yeah.
They all got to be mowed.
Yeah.
A question I was going to, when you were homeschooling, okay, how did you know that, okay, we're going to the second grade now. Now you're in third grade. You know, then you get it to eighth grade. Did you have tests or things that they had to take to qualify to go to the next grade?
Sure. I did this voluntarily. The state of Illinois is currently pretty pro homeschooling. There's been some legislation to try to change that, but so I volunteered. I voluntarily chose to test my kids, but it wasn't required of me. So at fourth grade and eighth grade in the public school, they go through Iowa Basic Skills tests, something like that. Not all schools use the same one. So we had a co-op that administered those, and I took my kids to that so that it helped me to see what were their strengths, what were their weaknesses, where did I need to review or hone their skills the following year. So at fourth grade and eighth grade, I did do that for my kids. And then, of course, they took the ACT as well. But I was pleasantly surprised that they were actually not in every subject, but they were basically two grades ahead of their actual age that would have been fourth grade. They were performing at like sixth grade level at fourth grade.
Wow, that had to, you know, had to make you feel good.
Yeah, it boosted my confidence a lot. So, yeah. But I mean, not in every grade level. They did have to do review and some that were, they were right on or maybe just slightly a month behind fourth grade.
Yeah. And so your kids, did they all go to college?
They did, actually. Yeah, Gabriel went to West Point. So that's another thing, you know.
Yeah, West Point.
He got accepted and completed successfully.
So basically, did he test? He had to test out to be able to even go to West Point?
No, he got a diploma. He got a degree. Uh-huh. You know, I was able to issue that and issue his transcript to the school. He got admitted, and they actually were recruiting homeschooled students because they did score higher on all these standardized tests. So at the time that he was being admitted, they were looking for homeschool students. Yeah, but he graduated successfully, and Abby graduated from College of the Ozarks. Chloe went to College of the Ozarks, and Quinn just graduated from Patrick Henry College. So it makes me think, even though there's lots of days I failed, there's lots of days that maybe it didn't go well. Mm-hmm. I can look back now and just be grateful and thankful and know that, you know, the Lord helped me to complete this task that he put in my hand. Mm-hmm. And there's four successful young men and women that are my kids that are successfully completed what the world would say is success. You got your college degree and you're going on adulting.
What are some tips or suggestions that you can give to young parents that are maybe thinking, you know what, maybe we should homeschool mm-hmm. our children? What are the basics or the ABCs of being successful as a homeschooler?
Sure. I would say you really need to consider it. Count the cost, because it's not easy. I don't mean the monetary cost. Mm-hmm. I mean, the monetary, I mean, there is some monetary cost, but I'm talking about.
You're still paying property taxes to send your kid to school.
Yep.
It's not like you can, like you can save that.
Right. You don't get to change that. And there's no voucher system or anything like that. So you do have to still purchase curriculum and anything else that might go with that. Co-ops aren't free. They require an expense. But I'm talking about the cost of the change in your life. Because you are reorienting your life around this goal of, I choose and am diligent to be responsible that my children will master these subjects. And that requires a reorienting of my goals and my time. And so it's count the cost. It takes time and it takes energy and effort, but it's worth it. It's well worth it. So I would say count the cost. I would also say, pray about it and ask the Lord to help you, because this is not for the weak of heart, yeah. The faint of heart. It's something that there are days you want to throw in the towel, and it's not getting into West Point or getting A's that makes you stay at it. It's, I am doing this because I know that it's what the Lord has asked of me, and He will supply the what is necessary for me to complete it. And for what He has began in us, He will complete the good work He began in us. And so you need something that is going to keep you in there, that's more than just, this sounds fun, let's try it this year.
Mm-hmm. And also, if somebody's thinking about it, okay, mm-hmm. They don't have to, it's not like they have to do it all the way to their high school.
Exactly.
I mean, they could cover the first few years.
Yeah.
And then they could go to regular school if need be.
And a lot of parents that homeschool do that. They're like, we're going to do elementary. And then when they get into junior high and high school, we're going to put them in school. Or the reverse. They're like, I'd like to have their elementary studies there. And then when they get into high school, I'm going to study them or put them in a co-op. So there, it's, you don't have to make the decision for the entire 12 years, the first year. But think about it and ask other people who have done it. Mm-hmm. And recognize that what instruction you're giving them is going to be more valuable than if you just put them in public school for the year. Well, let me recant that. You might have to scratch some of that. But basically, I'm saying that it's like having a one-on-one tutor.
Yeah, I mean,
and the time with your child is these collateral tangential benefits, because you're spending time with that child and you can never get that back. Those 8 hours at the public school, you don't get those back.
Mm-hmm.
So this time with your child has these elevated benefits that you can't quantify. Does mm-hmm. that make sense? You
yeah.
know what I mean?
Yeah. For me personally, all my kids went to public school, but I have enjoyed immensely them working with me in business, you know.
All
of them have done short stints at least, mm-hmm, you know, mm-hmm. and just getting to mentor them, be around them.
Sure.
You know, now I have Michael with me here at the station, and
mm-hmm.
and he's been, couldn't have done it without him.
Sure.
There's no doubt about it.
Mm-hmm,
you know, he has mm-hmm. been great help mm-hmm. with this. So anyway, guess what? We've run out of time again.
Oh, well.
Well,
we could talk all day, I'm sure.
It's been so fun having you in today.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Cindy Parrish.
That's right.
The homeschooler. Among many things, many hats.
Yes,
thanks so much for coming in. Have a great day.
Thanks for having me.